The title for my address is Many Gods, Many Creeds. What is True? And it's a part one of a two-parter. In November at the membership service, I hope to deliver part two entitled What Do These Unitarians Believe? When we ask what is true, we mean something absolute, final and complete. In our affirmation and covenant, we name the quest of truth as our sacrament. But is there such a thing as truth with a capital T? Plato suggested that what we call truth is only a shadow of an idea that exists on some perfect realm that we don't know about. So instead of chasing some final absolute truth, I ask, is there any reality that sustains meaning and goodness for me or for you? I've confessed before that personally I've a deep desire to know God. It's an ongoing process and it's guided by my mind. It's guided by my mind, by questioning, by searching, which in turn gives my heart and my soul direction and insight, and perhaps one day, wisdom. There are indeed many gods and many creeds, and the one I grew up with is the God of traditional Christianity, described by Reverend Saville Hicks in my second reading. But do you agree with this statement? The ultimate authority in matters of religion is your own mind, given your capacity to question, to think, and to reason. Freed minds are restless and fearless. We ask people to be reasonable. We say to our friends, think about it. Saville Hicks suggests to us that many churches limit divine inspiration to one age, one book, and one creed. A Unitarian community holds an imperfect yet powerful conviction. There is no one book or institution which is superior to your conscience and your intellect, your capacity to think for yourself. The great questions of life cannot be confined to one set of answers. The Christian doctrine of salvation through Christ, that humanity's disobedience required God to become human, to die, and to rise again, is one such answer. And Unitarians find this deeply problematic. Hicks suggests that it's a direct contradiction to, for example, the Sermon on the Mount. And I can see him just standing right here, pointing at these stone tablets. These words, he says, flows free and pure, devoid of the mud, grit, and pollution that a rigid doctrine brings to Christianity. And besides, what of those who have never and will never hear this message of salvation? And what of those who have heard it and do not accept it? It's just not reasonable, he says. And incidentally, the Gospels of Matthew and Luke writes that the man who said these words was constantly challenging orthodoxy, and he lost his life because of it. Now, elsewhere in his pamphlet, Saville Hicks quotes Ella Wheeler Wilcox's short poem, which inspired the title for this address. So many gods, so many creeds, so many paths that wind and wind, and all the truth this world needs is just the art of being kind. And set beside the golden rule, do unto others, it may be all the doctrine we need. Peter White, in his address recently, said that for him, kindness was something this church really tries to focus on, and that acts of kindness, no matter how small, have ripple effects we cannot foresee. Members of our community often say that this is a safe place, safe to explore, safe to question, safe to be wrong, and also safe to grow spiritually. And like all sincere adherents of a spiritual community, we seek to live an authentic and responsible life. A few weeks ago at Culture Night here in the church, a visitor asked me, "What do you have to believe in order to be a minister in this church?" And I was, of course, on the spot. It was a busy night in the church with lots to do. And I answered without giving too much thought. I said, "A belief in the inherent goodness of humanity." Alison, you'll tell me, but I think the visitor was not impressed. And I needed to introduce the next performance, and we didn't get to speak again. Now, I'm always willing to engage people for as long as it takes, but this particular night, I just couldn't. But perhaps I should have said, "Drop in on a Sunday morning, because you'll have to ask everyone gathered here for an answer to that question." But this belief in human goodness has deep roots in Unitarianism. Our movement rejected the doctrine of original sin and affirmed the oneness of God. And we are not the product of one founder or one revelation, but of many minds in many lands, evolving over the centuries. And we have no central authority, but our unity lies in shared freedom. And that freedom includes not believing in God. The word tolerance appears on the plaque on the front of this building, and it has been the subject of discussion. Some find that word unsatisfying, as if it means putting up with something negative. But perhaps it means something deeper. Tolerance. Living with disagreement, or better still, accepting disagreement and what we perceive as opposing beliefs. Perhaps acknowledging that other people are just as complicated as me, as you, as us. So there are indeed many gods, many creeds, even within Christianity itself. And Saville Hicks imagined three Christians from different denominations getting together to read the Bible. The Anglican uses a green highlighter, the Methodist has a blue highlighter, and the Unitarian has a yellow one. And their task is to teach each other the veracity of their particular expression of faith. And of course, each comes to different conclusions, and they claim a different truth. But when we do that, we have limited all that can be said about life to one book. And even with that one book, we cannot agree. Different religions, philosophies, beliefs are chapters in a single story, the story of humanity. And ideally, we would move from debating difference to seeking shared meaning. And I think we aspire to do that here, imperfect and challenging as it is, diversity being as natural as gravity. And so our celebration really does strive to celebrate diversity. I was challenged again by two visitors not long ago who were perplexed by our lack of a creed. "How can you have unity?" she asked. So ever since I've become a ministry student, I've had my fair share of challengers, and not just from members of the congregation. Some people need an anchor of fixed rules, creeds and doctrines. Others cannot live that way. And dissenters and nonconformists throughout history fought for that freedom, the right to follow their conscience. We pay religion the compliment of thinking about it. We have a tradition of an open pulpit here. That means it's not just the minister who leads services. And visitors sometimes ask me, With your open pulpit, I assume you vet what the person is going to say. Absolutely not, we do not. They will share their ideas and thoughts which we don't have to agree with. And they will talk on a topic important and meaningful to them. And sometimes our conscience and our assumptions are challenged, but it's always talked about afterwards when we gather downstairs. 2 centuries before Saville Hicks served in this church, Charles Wesley, co-founder of the Methodist movement, wrote a hymn entitled Son of Unclouded Righteousness. And this is verse 3. Assert thy glorious deity, stretch out thine arm, thou truine God, the Unitarian fiend expel, and chase his doctrine back to hell. And of course, the doctrine he despised was our rejection of the doctrine of original sin, our belief in humanity's inherent goodness, and the oneness of God, the unity of God. And of course, that hostility reminds us that cancel culture is nothing new, but it also highlights the radical nature of our faith to affirm that goodness is native to humanity. With so many gods and so many creeds, I settle here, and I begin with human goodness expressed through kindness. I believe there is a living presence of goodness in people. But when kindness is absent in words or ideologies or in politics, then my tolerance comes under severe pressure. A Unitarian minister in Maryland, United States, Scott Alexander, puts it like this: we offer no absolute truths, but a space to search for them. We will not try to remake you religiously. We affirm that your spiritual well-being is yours to determine. Does that describe this place for you? This is a space where we explore our ultimate concerns, where we wrestle with meaning and ethics. It is certainly not a low participation, low expectation, or low commitment religion. The path is demanding, it is disquieting, but it is lifelong, and it takes courage to step into it. But with all this rationalism, you may ask, where is wonder and mystery in all of this? Where is wonder and mystery in things we cannot explain? Perhaps it lies in our freedom. When we free ourselves from rigid belief, we open ourselves to mystery. We commit to the search for truth, to ongoing revelation, without ever claiming to possess a final word. I do not wish to confine the sacred. James Luther Adams was a Unitarian theologian in the mid-19th century, and he came to Unitarianism after being involved in a mainstream Christian denomination. He said he couldn't belong to a religion that relieved him of the responsibility to think for himself. He said, an unexamined faith is not worth having. If you cannot test it, it is not worth having. But he was speaking not just of religions of his time, he was speaking about political ideologies. And I think our world is still bursting with faiths, and not just religious faiths, battling for our allegiance, all vying for our attention from these small but powerful devices in our hands. There is a 21st century battle of gods and creeds being played out. So to conclude, the Protestant Reformation sought to raise Scripture as the sole source of truth. And today, new movements like Christian nationalism twist Scripture to justify racism, misogyny, and hatred of the queer community. And against that, we offer another vision, one rooted in conscience, in kindness and freedom. We believe that goodness and love are not bound by any single creed or book, but are alive in human hearts. Unitarianism values freedom, reason, and conscience. So we read sacred texts, lots of them, not to develop and follow a creed, not to obey a set of rules, but to understand and question and reason. There are and always will be many gods and many creeds, but if kindness, freedom, and reason guide us, if we can see the divine spark in one another, then perhaps we are closer to the truth than we think. Amen.